Hey fam, it's Bombs in Context. What you're about to hear is a very special streamlined episode of Soup to Nuts. After finding the singer-songwriter sister duo of Chloe Olivia in our research, the Soup to Nuts crew hosted them in the studio for a chat. Discussions focused on their early lives on social media, their creative process, the importance of authenticity, and sharing the stage as sisters. If you're interested in attending the show live, visit MoxumRadio.com or email me directly at bombsincontext@gmail.com. I hope you enjoy this episode with Chloe Olivia.
Tuesday, and it is around 9, so you know what that means. Another family member on the road to 40, Soup to Nuts with Phantom and Moxum, and tonight's family member, Chloe Olivia. How are you all?
We are doing great. How are you?
Okay, super psyched about this.
Yeah, we are so excited to talk to you tonight.
Nice.
What's up, Phantom?
I am just chilling. Welcome to the show, chilling. Ladies.
Thanks.
Mox, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, brother. Just battling this cold, man.
I know.
NyQuil is my all-time favorite friend right now.
I think now is the time that you do the audiobook.
You know what? It may be better. Chloe Olivia, how are you guys?
Yeah, we're doing awesome. Have a good day.
Hello, everybody down there. It is amazing to see so many faces that I have not seen for a while. North Texas in the house.
North Texas. Western Dreamers, Peter.
I know. Western Dreamers is up in there. Chloe and Olivia, Western Dreamers is the American love story. Frequently what we do is we announce you when you come on the show, and you'll get announcements when we have other artists on. And American Love Story was here with us earlier, so we'll have artists that have actually been on the show come and help support you too.
Right on. That's awesome.
Bombs, I think this NyQuil is making me go up an octave. Everybody else seems to make me go down. I think it's actually making me go up an octave.
Could be.
I don't want to hear no nonsense from North Texas. You know what I mean? Yes. Look, she's already laughing at me.
He will be the one to ask you those questions that you put in that post that tripped me out so bad, like who's your crush and all that stuff. That'll be Mox's questions.
Wait a second, you already have a crush on me? That's awesome. I appreciate
that's
it.
That's right. Winning now, right there, see?
Now, my boyfriends may not appreciate that all too much. No.
Here we go.
I kid, Peter. Well, don't worry about it. I still love you.
He's out there traveling again. So what we'll do is I will kick off the way that I usually kick it off. And then for those of you who weren't with me last night, I'll play Gilded again. And then we will come right back to Chloe Olivia and start this family chat.
Okay, let's do it.
All right, let's do it.
Excellent.
Golden underneath, in your eyes is the counterfeit gold, counterfeit gold. I don't know which words to believe. Opinion inaccuracy. I see you talking through a screen with a TV glow. Oh, oh, oh. And there it's digging deep, but we know it's easy to paint the leaves all gold. It's in the eyes I read a curse and a blessing, searching the ground, digging holes.
All right, friends, that was Gilded by our new family member, Chloe Olivia. And we are here tonight on the Soup to Nuts show with them live. And as always, Phantom Dog and Moxum. Thanks, everybody, for being here. So, ladies, how are you?
We are doing so great. Thanks for having us here tonight.
Oh, anytime. I guess we start at the beginning, right? So tell us a little bit about yourselves. I know that you grew up in a place and you've transplanted yourself to another place. Age, your relationship, all that stuff. Why don't you share that with us, and that should kick us off.
Yeah, absolutely. So Chloe and I grew up in Oklahoma, actually. And then, like you said, got transplanted. We moved to Arizona. Yeah, we both started writing at a really young age, at the age of like 10 for both of us. So I'm 2 years younger than she is. So I started writing 2 years after her. But both around the age of 10, and just absolutely fell in love with it.
Yeah, and it was interesting because at the beginning, we really weren't doing anything together. We were just kind of like on this parallel path where we were both doing music, but it never intersected. And so that was just how it was for a long time. I went up to college, again, just writing on our own. And then eventually, after she lived in Portland, she came back, and we're like, you know what, let's try this together. And that's kind of when we first intersected.
Now, one thing is, you're sisters, correct?
Yes, we are.
See, we just randomly by proxy, we are like obsessed with sibling musicians. I have
heck yeah, so are we.
I know, like Western Dreamers are frontmen. Both their frontmen are brothers. That's so awesome. It's like, you know, it's just by proxy we end up with this, but that's amazing. Now, to what you were saying about starting at 10 years old and stuff, I found your YouTube channel.
Yes.
And so you have literally had a catalog since, I think it started at 11. I don't remember seeing a 10, but maybe that's when you all started practicing to get it going. But you literally have a catalog of songs that you've written and that you were doing on the piano live on video from the time you were 11 till, what, like a year ago on your YouTube channel.
Yeah. You literally can just watch us grow up and you can see our awkward phases. It's great. It's blackmail that we have willingly given the world.
Was that something, the YouTube piece, was that something that you all wanted to do? Your folks are musically inclined or something, and they said, hey, you know, while we're doing piano, or, you know, was it a record that they wanted to make sure that if you kind of got away from the music, there were all these records that were kind of kept in the songs that you were writing? What was the philosophy behind you?
Yeah.
Because you all wrote the songs. Like, I think most of the titles were songs that you all wrote.
Yeah, absolutely. So the beginnings are actually pretty funny because my mom had a blog when she was a little younger than she is now. And she wanted... I can't say, like, sorry, Mom, love you. So she had a blog, and this is Olivia speaking, and I wrote a song, and she was like, oh, I just love that song. Like, I just want to post it to my blog, and couldn't figure out how to do it unless she posted it on YouTube. So then she just posted on YouTube to then put it on her blog. It was never actually a conscious decision to say we're starting a YouTube channel. And so then... Mom kept posting on blogs. We kept writing songs. They kept going up on YouTube until we got linked to a viral video, and then it just kind of went from there.
Oh, what viral video did you get linked to?
I think it was a video of Grace and Chance singing like a Lady Gaga song or something like that. Yeah, just this kid that was a singer, and it was this viral video at the time, and we were just right on the sidebar of that, so we got so many hits after that happened. It kind of took off from there.
Which one of you all, you know, kind of got the pings on that, or was that one song that you all did together?
Yeah, I got kind of lucky. Olivia, that's who's speaking.
It was pretty unfair. I wanted it, but Olivia got it.
Yeah, and it was just this song that I'd written when I was 13, and I don't know why, but people were clicking on it and really liked it, so got really lucky.
That's incredible. So what's your mom's blog about? Was it about you, or was it about music? What was it about?
No, I think it was just about life and for families.
Yeah, she doesn't do it anymore. It was just for a couple of years, but I mean, it definitely was a blessing because it kicked things off with us. So she's not a mommy blogger nowadays, but there was a little period of time where she had a blog and was doing that.
Cool.
So is she musically inclined? Like, did she do music and she wanted you all to do music too, and it just kind of took off from there? Or is this something you all had an interest in and then did it yourself?
Yeah, my mom and my dad both sing and play piano, and so they got us into piano lessons, but never told us to write music. And it was never something that my parents were really pushing us to do, or pushing us and saying, like, you're going to be songwriters, you're going to become something great. It was actually a really natural process.
Yeah, it's actually pretty funny. This is Chloe speaking, because I wrote my first song when I was 10, and it was called Miracles. And I remember I sat down at the piano, and they put us in piano lessons they wanted us to be in the arts or music somehow. So we were both in piano lessons. But after we would practice, you know, we'd hate practicing just like any other kid. You're like, when can this be over? And so after I practiced, I would just sit and write. And I remember I wrote this song called Miracles. It's terrible now. I listen back to it. But I mean, for a 10-year-old, it's pretty good. And I told my mom, I was like, Mom, come listen to this song I just wrote. She sat down and I played it for her. And after, she was like, okay, Chloe, like, so we're going to be honest. Like, who wrote that song? Like, did you hear that somewhere? Like, she was pushing me to, like, expose who had actually written the song. And I was like, I was so mad. I was like, no, Mom, like, I seriously wrote it. Like, I really did. And finally, after, I mean, a couple songs, she was convinced. But I think that was that validation pushed me forward, because I was thinking, oh, my mom thinks someone else wrote this, that this must mean that it's good. And that pushed us forward.
And that's the true auspice behind YouTube. I'm going to catch it on video to make sure that that's you doing it.
My mom's like, video or it didn't happen.
It's like a ghost sighting.
So
wow, now I'm looking back and I'm like, that was sneaky.
Yeah, right. So what was it that got you into wanting to write, and who taught you? Or is it just some experimentation you started doing and it took off really well?
I mean, I think it was just the fact that I really didn't like practicing these songs that I felt like were so boring out of our music book that our music teacher had given us. And so I think it was just sitting there and being like, I want to play something else. And it just kind of was innate. It's funny because we talk about, I mean, for both Olivia and myself, it felt like starting to write music was almost like puberty. It's just like, okay, this happens and it's natural. And it's not like you're like, okay, now's the time. But it just like happened to you almost.
Yeah, absolutely. It was totally just a very natural process. And I think because I was 2 years younger than Chloe was, I hit 10 and I was like, oh, okay, like we write music. Like that's what we do. And so I started writing, and it is actually a tragedy. I can't remember the first song that I ever wrote. And I'm like, Mom, that was your responsibility. I'm just kidding. But yeah, I don't even remember. It just was something, like Chloe said, was so natural and just grew and grew and grew. And we got better and better and better. Nobody ever taught us. We just kind of like did whatever happened, and it ended up being pretty good.
Do you guys play any other instruments besides piano, or is that just...
Yeah, so we both play guitar as well.
And what's your preference? Guitar, piano?
Yeah, so piano's definitely both of our preferences because we started at the age of like 6 or 7. So we're definitely a lot better with the piano. But I started playing, we both started playing guitar. I started playing when I was 14. Chloe started playing when she was 16. And it was just this incredible new medium for writing music. And I heard different things and felt different things, and different chords had different sounds that really opened up different ways to write music.
With the older songs, I mean, are they basically put away? Like you're like, okay, I wrote that song and it was fun for when I was 10 or 11. And it was what it was? Or have you found yourself going back, going, you know what, I can use nuggets from 5 of these little songs that I wrote, you know, the first 5 years that I started, and actually turn them into something that's a little more adult? Or are they all basically archived?
Yeah, it's funny because I think at least for me, I kind of was of the opinion that they were archived. But until about 2 years ago, Olivia and I started revisiting some of those old songs. And we were like, wait, this chorus is actually really good. Or, wow, this line is actually really hits. It's really hooky. And it's funny because we talk to people all the time who listen to our old stuff. And maybe we're even fans, you know, a decade ago. And they say, I still listen to Lemonade, or I still love Candy Bar. And I think there are parts of those songs that resonate with people or are really hooky. So we're definitely open to, like you said, taking nuggets of those. I don't think we would take a whole song in its entirety, but I think taking nuggets and saying, what do we like from this, and picking and pulling, and yeah, for sure.
Or do some fun B-sides.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you know. Totally. Oh yeah. Good idea. Thanks.
Because with the piano and the guitar, there's an electronic influence on both the tracks that we listen to. So what kind of blended you from that, for lack of better terms, grassroots sort of movement with your music into this otherworldly electronic sort of vibe for your backtracking?
As we sat down and as we were approaching, you know, okay, we want to put out some singles, we initially we're thinking, okay, what sound do we want to shoot for? Who are influences? And then pretty quickly we just got away from that. And we were just like, we want to do whatever comes out, whatever feels natural, what feels right. We don't necessarily want to shoot for a specific sound. And so that's really what happened in the production process. And we love it. And it feels so authentic to us because we weren't trying to sound a certain way. We just kind of found sounds that we loved in the process. But I think as we release albums in the future, you'll definitely hear a lot more of that grassroots influence come back in with some ballads, that piano sound. So it will definitely be weaved in more in the future as we release full albums.
And we listened to Gilded, which was your first track, correct? Your kickoff track out for both of you together? Okay.
Yeah, so Gilded is
kind of based off of this idea. It's, I think one day we were just sitting and we were talking and we were saying that it seems like we live in this world today where with social media and things like that, it's really easy to put up this false sense of who we are. And it's funny how sometimes you see people and how you perceive them on social media, then you meet them in real life and you're like, wait, there's kind of a disconnect there from what they seem to be and what they are, both for better and for worse. And so that was kind of the point of this song is, you know, we're all kind of gilded in this sense nowadays. We have this golden layering outside and one line says, but is there golden underneath? And it's kind of fighting for authenticity. Let's get back in touch with being really authentic to who we are in a world where it's so easy to put up a face that may not be true to who we are exactly.
So the use of social media tied to Gilded and kind of tied to what you were talking about, what is your strategy for balancing yourselves as women, as musicians, mm-hmm. as sisters in that social media world where everything does have that sort of veneer, or there's an expectation that there should be some veneer on there before, you know, when you put it out to the public?
Oh, absolutely. This is something that Chloe and I have actually sat down many times and said, what is our hope and what are we trying to accomplish here with using social media? Because we are so sensitive to the way that people put their lives up and the way that people perceive others because of social media. And so I think just like you said, avoiding the sterile on the opposite side, we've tried to honestly just be authentic in any way that we can. And as we post pictures or things, we sometimes try to include little funny things that have happened or jokes or just how we really are in real life, and have not tried to paint ourselves in any way that isn't true to who we are in every picture. We revisit it often and say, are we in line with who we are as human beings and what we hope to be and what people will see in real life when they meet us? And so trying to find a balance, yeah, between saying, okay, we need to post to help people see, but every post that we do is going to be 100% Chloe and Olivia in real life when you meet them and us.
What made the cutting room floor? Like, I have a sense of you from just us talking and social media and stuff. And that's why I asked the question, because even when it could be something that's kind of, you know, staged, for lack of better terms, you know, where you're taking a selfie of yourself and, you know, kind of in a pose or something, you always do like tongue in cheek, this is really who we are, you know, that
yes.
wink at everybody, which connected me to you all almost instantly. So what are the types of things, because I don't see you all doing too much stuff that would end up on the cutting room floor by your definition. What are some things that you have cut down saying, nah, this isn't really true to who we are?
Yeah, absolutely. I would feel the things that we decide not to post and put out there are things that have very serious pictures of us where maybe we're dolled up to the T and a very serious comment about maybe like, okay, this is us, you know, please listen to our music. We don't take ourselves seriously. And so if we do post a serious post, it always hits with a funny comment, like you said. And so I feel like things that hit the cutting room floor are things that come across too serious, or like we take ourselves too seriously.
Yeah. And it's interesting because at the beginning, Olivia and I were talking and we were saying, okay, so social media is huge nowadays and we've got to, you know, be on there and grow our following. And we totally kind of had that mentality at the beginning. But it's funny because as we started looking up all these artists that we really respected and loved their music, we see that they have like less than 5,000 followers, yet they have hundreds of thousands, even millions of streams. They sell out. And I think that we live in this world where social media feels so important, but it's like the Area 51 raid. This is just a funny reference, but you see like millions of people are on this page, they're liking it, they're present, and then 100 show up. You know, it's like that. That's how social media can be sometimes. So like Olivia said, we don't take it too seriously because we don't expect to gain our following there. Yeah, so we kind of see it as a place for people to come when they found our music or maybe to be introduced to our music, but honestly, mostly to connect. We have people that have followed our music for 15, you know, 10 years that we message back and forth. They comment on our stuff, we comment on theirs. So I think for us, Yeah, we hope that some people will find our music there. And like you said, kind of be attracted to that tongue in cheek and then go, oh, they also have music. Cool. But definitely as a place to connect with people rather than gain followers. So hopefully those people will find our music through blogs, you know, radio stations, music videos, YouTube, whatever, and then go, okay, cool, I can connect with them on Chloe Olivia Music on Instagram.
So do you guys, what do you guys think about TikTok?
Okay. TikTok, at first, we thought it was the weirdest thing. We were like, what is this app? But honestly, there's some funny content on there. Like, there's some comedic gold on TikTok that we can appreciate. We can hang with it sometimes.
Do you guys have one?
No, we don't. Should we? What? Is this something we need to consider?
I think you should. And then you should start following us.
I know. Okay.
We'll follow you and you'll follow us.
Oh, that's
absolutely.
I'll follow you on everything and you can follow me on everything.
Perfect. Mutually beneficial.
That's how I like it to work out.
Well, and they do say that that's right now the place to actually find music, that you have a better chance of getting hits or followers or mass popularity on your track in TikTok. Wow. I don't know what the growth mechanism is on that, but everyone's kind of, I mean, you know, Phantom and Mox and I've talked about it, like, since Musical.ly, like when they turned into what is now TikTok, it's kind of taken off. So it would be beneficial to you all as artists, but the strategies for getting your voice heard in that space because it's so loud may take a little bit, but it's another tool for your arsenal.
Yeah, yeah, thank you.
You guys are making us look like the old geezers now. You guys are ahead of us, ahead of the time. We're the ones catching up.
We all learned it on the Facebook. All right, so tonight, everybody, for those of you who've just joined us, we are with Chloe Olivia. We listened to their kickoff track, Gilded. What we will do now is I will go to the, I guess, technically the second music set. Let's see what I got. Cold Floor, which I've been playing on my Friday shows.
Cool.
So we will listen to that and come back and talk.
Awesome. Sounds great. Falling, hollering, calling out as you bleed. Feel close, dose of medicine, baby, what you feel. Relieve pressure, tailspin, and spin the wheel. Tuck your shirt and guide in, strut with your heels. Heels, heels, guiding with your heels. With your, tell me all your secrets and I'll be bored. Something heartbreaking because you want more. Something comforting about the cold floor. Cold floor, the cold floor. With your, tell me all your secrets and I'll be bored. Something heartbreaking because you want more. Something comforting about the cold floor. The cold floor, the cold floor. Type of hate, and now I'm hiding in plain sight, just trying to keep up cause it feels right. Give and take cause I know that you don't mind, don't mind. And now I'm hiding in plain sight, just trying to keep up cause it feels right. Give and take cause I know that you don't mind, don't mind. With your, tell me all your secrets and I'll be bored. Something heartbreaking because you want more. Cold floor, the cold floor, with you.
cause I know that you don't mind, don't mind. And now I'm hiding in plain sight, just trying to keep up cause it feels right. Give and take cause I know that you don't mind, don't mind. With your, tell me all your secrets and I'll be bored. Something heartbreaking because you want more. Something comforting about the cold floor, cold floor, the cold floor. With your, tell me all your secrets and I'll be bored. Something heartbreaking because you want more. Something comforting about the cold floor, cold floor, the cold floor.
Day night continues on Soup to Nuts with our new family member, Chloe Olivia. And as always, Phantom and Mox. We've just listened to the new track. One question that I have, because we had talked about YouTube, we talked about each of you all writing your own songs. How does that actually work in the songwriting process? I mean, your voices are succinct in both tracks, but how does that work because you all have accomplished your own thing writing music? How does that work together as sisters trying to write one single song together?
Yeah, I think that you hit the nail on the head when you mentioned that we wrote separately for so long. And so together it works quite interestingly because it really is kind of a little bit just blending the two together. And so it looks a lot like I'll sit down at the piano, I'll think of something, I'll shoot it her way and say, what do you think about this? And she'll be like, oh, that's great. And then she'll work on the second verse or the bridge or come up with different chord progressions. And so sometimes we sit down together and we create together, but a lot of the times it's still done just shooting it through a text and then shooting it back and kind of that way.
So is there conflict in that process? You all seem so nice. Like, you all seem so nice. And I'm like, I don't, too I nice, can't see huh? you all like, this sucks, you know? So I'm like, what? Is there conflict that you all are like,
they're not gonna, your moms, come on now. You know they're not gonna tell the truth. I wanna talk to their mom.
Oh, we'll shoot you straight here.
So I wanna ask mom what the pros and cons are and how much you guys actually played about it.
She's gonna be like, I get enough calls about them fighting. So, no, it's like, honestly, here's the thing about Olivia and I is that we really do shoot each other straight. And so if something's not good, we'll say, I really don't like that part. I don't dig it. I think it could be better. But I think the good thing is we don't really take offense to it. I think we realize that we're kind of working towards the same goal. So sometimes we are in conflict over, you know, I think this is better, she thinks this is better. But usually we can be pretty straight up with each other and not get offended and go, okay, well, what about this, and work through it pretty well. Usually when we fight, it's about like stealing each other's clothes, not as much
nice.
Music. Yeah, I would agree with that. It's a lot of honesty. But I think that we're both aware of the fact that we want it to be good. So if I write something and I send it her way and she comes up with something better, I'm stoked because it's not about who wrote the better bridge or who wrote the better lyrics. It's about the fact that we have better lyrics in our song together. So it's kind of, if you view it more in that way, it helps. But it definitely is sometimes if you think you write something good and then they shoot it down, you're like, oh, dang, like that kind of hurt.
So with the topics, do you all sit down before you, like you said, you sit down at the piano and then you kind of start and then the other will pick up, but do you all come together under a topic, or is that just kind of one of those things that blends as you all do the musicality back and forth? What's the, you know, sort of mental focus that you've got prior to even like a note being struck?
Yeah, so it's interesting because sometimes we'll write lyrics first, sometimes we'll write the piano first and kind of go, okay, what does this make us feel? But as far as, you know, when we have an idea, sometimes one of us will start writing and say, okay, I had this idea about, you know, being gilded and how in social media it seems like sometimes we're gilded. And then she'll think of some lines that are really great ways of expressing that are better than I had, or maybe coming at it at a different angle. And so usually
it'll either come from a conversation we've had or one of us has an idea. Like, there's an idea that Olivia thought of in a song that we're actually going to be releasing sometime in the next year. And it's such a cool idea. And so she, you know, that idea was born from her. And then I said, oh, let's write it. Let's continue. And we kind of took off with that. So that's kind of the process. But there's no cookie cutter way. It changes song to song, honestly.
So just completely organic. So with something like Cold Floor, tell us a little bit about Cold Floor and how that process kind of blended for that song.
Yeah, so actually, we were writing for someone else in the case of Cold Floor and kind of working on something for another person. And then as we were writing it together, kind of, you know, shooting different ideas around, things like that, we kind of hit on that hook for the chorus and looked at each other and were like, oh, we're not going to give that away. And so, yeah, that one was a very, that is, Cold Floor is a really good example of a complete mix between Chloe and I, because it was both sitting down actually in a car together as we worked through that one, just together simultaneously, not shooting it back and forth through text. And so, yeah, it would just come up with, she'll start singing a melody and then I'll start singing a melody over it. And we're like, oh, we like that one, and saying words. Honestly, when I write, I start by saying literal gibberish until I say something that the way that the word sounds, the music or the thought, you know, it hits right for me. And so it kind of starts like that until we find a word or a phrase, and then it just builds from there as we each work on it together.
So what's the actual story behind Cold Floor? Because that's a very, a very stark image. Like, even just the title, like, you say Cold Floor, and people identify with that in different ways, like
waking up
hangovers, or, you know, having the flu, or, you know, something like that. It's like there's a very stark, sort of intimate thing behind Cold Floors. So what's the auspice behind the title and the song?
Yeah, so Olivia and I were talking, so... You know, we kind of, when we started with this song, there was this image of this woman that's almost this villain character in a sense. And we felt like there were so many songs talking about women that had had their hearts broken by men, that the man treated them bad and was, you know, leading them on or things like this. And we were like, we want to write a song where the woman is the heartbreaker. She's the cold, like, ice queen figure. So we started writing that. And so it's all about this woman that's just kind of, it's, there's almost this symbol of like torture. That sounds so morbid, but it's almost like torturing him, but it's that emotional symbolic of emotional torture. And we were talking about how sometimes when you're so sick or so sad, you lay on the cold floor and it just feels good. Like, when you're so sick, you just lay there and you're like, oh, this is better than like a memory foam queen bed right now. So we had that imagery and we wanted to incorporate that into the song. And so it's almost like this cold-hearted woman is leading him on and just kind of torturing this poor guy emotionally to the point where he's just on the cold floor and it kind of feels good because it's just, he's at this low point.
What I like, what you've done musically, is kind of brought yourselves together and all of, like, your promo pic, your icon, even the covers of your tracks are very stark, but it is full focus on you two. So was that a creative hand thing that you all decided to do? Or was that something when you sat down, you know, your mom or somebody was like, hey, I've got this strategy. You all are sisters and you sing together, so let's do this.
Yeah, so kind of the whole idea of us doing it together came from a dream, when I had a dream that we were doing music together, and I woke up and I was like, whoa, that kind of feels right. So we decided to do it together. And then as far as branding, I mean, at the beginning, we wanted people to see a face, have a face to the name. And I think that Olivia and I play off of each other super well. And kind of going back to the idea of connection, we want people to want to come to our concerts to see us, to connect with us, for us to connect with them. So more than just the music. So I think that we could have done art, but it would have been a little bit faceless. And so much of what we do and our pursuits in music are centered around connecting with other people. So we want them to see us, recognize us, come to the concerts, want to talk to us. We want to talk to them. So we want that connection, that face-to-face connection, if you will. And that kind of comes a little bit more through the photos of us, or that branding, I guess you could call it.
Like, you do a very good job showing how close-knit you all are. And then it translates into the music, like I said, where your voices kind of layer on top of each other, which is where it's like everything just seemed so perfect. That's why I asked, like, is there any difficulty that you have in the songwriting process? Because it's, you know, it's one of those things that, like, watching you at 10 go, you know, I'm just going to bang on this piano here and I've got a whole tune. It's like everything just seems so easy. I was like, it can't be this easy, can it? You know? So, but you guys do a great job branding, because it is. It's a focus on you two. And even with the difference in background on, like, the promo pic that we used on Instagram, you all are still kind of blended together, whereas it's really, really stark on your singles track, where you got the black background with your light hair and skin, you know, together. But I like it. It kind of gives – I mean, once you find out you all are sisters, it kind of invites you in, you know, so that – that branding, but that personal touch that you want. I think there's a connection there just because you all are who you all are.
Yeah, I hope so. That's definitely what we're shooting for. You know, just for people to have a face to the name and the music, because like I said, for us, it's about so much more than that. And Olivia and I want our concerts to be a place where people go and they feel good and they listen to music, but also have fun. We want them to laugh and, you know, kind of the monologues in between the songs. It's just kind of all about that, kind of making it more personal, I guess you could say. And yeah.
So how is that live? How do you perform live with those electronic elements in the background? Do you, I guess, kind of scope it all the way down to a guitar and a piano? Like, how do you go about executing, like, the tracks that we've heard today live?
Yeah, so it definitely has been, that's kind of, so you said, you know, everything seems so perfect and easy. This is the pain point right here. This is kind of the part that we're trying to work through as, you know, pretty fresh artists, because we performed, and just by the nature of a live performance, the sound is going to change a little bit, and that's the case for any artist that isn't, you know, Taylor Swift or Miley Cyrus. But yeah, so I feel like the sound does change a bit, but we're working more and more on making it more authentic by just, you know, collaborating with people who are able to do that live and make that sound happen. So for people that come to our shows, it will be different than what they hear in the, you know, on Spotify, but they'll still hear the similarities. It will still have that electronic sound. And I think that almost makes it cool, kind of incentivizes people to come, because if it sounds exactly like it does on the track, then it's like, okay, great. It's kind of, we want there to be a live touch, a little bit more character there.
So how is that for you all live? You've got these two tracks. Let's just say you do a half hour set. How many other songs do you have that we have not heard yet, or we would only hear live, or what other covers do you do?
We really hardly do any covers, to be honest. I think between Olivia and I'm not joking, we've probably written over 400, 500 songs each that are done.
Wow.
And so, because we've been writing for so many years, so we have so many pieces to pull from when we play live. So oftentimes we'll pull from those, and they just haven't been released yet, but we have so many that we almost don't even know what to do with them all, and we just try to play as many as we can. So
that's awesome.
So if we go to see you live, you're literally playing, like, songs that we, like, no one right now on streaming would have heard at all. It's like everything is you all.
Oh yeah,
your entire catalog. That's incredible.
Oh yeah, it's definitely that. And I think that we, if I look at how much, you know, I write and Chloe writes, like, it's probably, honestly, at this time in my life, like, 2 songs a week. I just have a lot to say, and I think she has a lot to say, and things are happening. And so, it's, like Chloe said, it's almost like you write a song 4 months ago, and it was so good, and you're like, I love that song, but I've written, like, 20 more by then. And then you get to the show, and you're like, well, that one written 4 months ago, like, what do I do with all these songs?
Yeah, and I think one thing that we want to be typical of our shows is that even when we have, you know, one album, two album, and by that I mean full albums out, we still want to be tapping into those songs that no one's heard. So there's kind of this gem that, you know, if you're coming to a show, you're going to hear a bunch of songs that you won't find anywhere else. And there have been artists that I love that do that. And I think it's so cool because you go to their shows and you feel like you're part of the secret club, kind of. And so we want that to be a part of our live shows.
So how do you guys decide which ones get released to the streaming services?
Yeah, that is the hardest part, I think. I think it really comes down to, we sit down and we say, okay, which ones represent what we're trying to say right now? What songs have hooks or choruses or things that we feel like people will relate to or will enjoy? And often a lot of the newer ones, since they're just percolating at the surface, get looked at most often. But it really is really challenging to say, what is it going to be? And we just kind of go with our gut when we lay them all out and try to figure out what we want to do next.
Rock, paper, scissors every time.
There you go. You're gonna win. Rock, paper, scissors.
That's the most scientific method now, right now.
It is absolutely scientific.
Yeah, so
I couldn't agree with you guys more.
Yeah, usually what we'll do is kind of, we'll start with the two of us and we'll say, okay, let's narrow this down. We'll narrow it down and then we'll send it out to friends and family and say, okay, which songs, you know, are you guys really digging? And usually it's pretty unanimous, surprisingly enough, like people gravitate towards the same songs. So we kind of have that method of narrowing it down. First it goes to us and then usually family and then friends. And that kind of helps us to see, okay, what's going to really resonate and what do we love that we feel like represents us. So that is our very scientific method.
How much of the role does the audience play in that? Like, have you gone on and performed and then you get like a killer response from songs that you may or may not have expected that response for? And then you all kind of use that as the kind of next planning stage for release for us on streaming because it did so well and it played so well for the audience. Does that play into it? Or you all just go, you know what, I'm glad everybody did that. I'm going to put that as a mental note. And then maybe when we release the EP, we'll put all these songs that people like first in the EP. Or how does that work?
I think that's so important as musicians to listen to the feedback from your fans or your audience. Obviously, staying true to who you are, you don't want to be a sellout, but having that conversation as an artist is crucial. And, you know, there might be a song that people love and we say, okay, maybe right now we feel like we can tailor it to be a little more authentic to us, or, you know, maybe we can tailor this song to be a little bit more of what other people want to listen to. So there's a little bit of that push and pull, but I would say usually it's a pretty seamless like conversation that we have with people that we play music for.
Know that we'll be playing all of your music once you leave here.
Awesome. We are seriously honored to be a part of the fam, guys.
Absolutely. We are so grateful.
You guys are the bomb. Literally, bomb. You're the bomb. Bombs
and hey, thank you.
He's the bomb. That's Moxham, and I'm the phantom dog.
A midnight glow lights up the